Okay, so enough of that right there. Welcome back to Radio Statler. This is Side Pocket once again with someone. Oh, by the way, the P's really click at this, so my technique is I speak to, like, off side of the mic, because otherwise, you know, that's going to do that. So we have a very special... Can someone close the damn door? Thank you. Close the door. That'd be great. Not that that matters, but that just peace of mind. So... we have another interesting interview for him, and now this is someone who has he's done some things in Iran stuff, and he's one of the most smartest youngest people I know, and well, that's just my opinion, and so it's happy for me to introduce here. Is the audio coming in okay, or is it these mics? Should we go to different mics, or
it sounds like it's very loud.
Very loud. Did they
just change the turn the gain down a little bit? I think we'll be okay.
Is that better?
Is that better? I don't think you have to sit that close with that.
Okay.
Mic.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No. I'm just no. Because before I had to with the thing. So that's good. This range.
Yeah. I think that sounds pretty
okay.
Good.
So yeah, just that and like slight off. Okay. So now that we're running, I want I'm always about here at the Side Pocket with Radio Statler, bringing in interesting perspectives from Hope and the hacker community, and you know. It's one thing to say one of the youngest, brightest minds that I know, but it's another thing to actually see him in person. And so, no pressure to him, I would like to introduce the World Radio Statler to Dent. Thank you for having me.
Hello, thank you. I'm very flattered.
Yeah, so, Dent, you've done a bunch of things. The first time I ever saw you was the local New York 2600 meetings around here. Tell me, how the hell did you find out about that? What made you convince yourself to hang out with such crazy lunatics?
Yeah, so I think NYC 2600 was the first in-person hacker meeting I've ever been to. I've always met hackers on IRC online, but in-person was kind of a different experience. People are a lot kinder in person, Yeah, and kind of getting to that, I had to have a long conversation with my parents saying, Mom, I'm meeting people on the internet. So, yeah, that was a whole different...
The people on the internet. Also, just to state here, not that's how creepy, after we just did that creepy thing, what is the... say something, or...
I'm just adjusting in case I feel like...
Sorry, I'm all... After pirate party for an hour and a half, I'm all paranoid, so I apologize. Because they did their job well. What's the... how old are you, kid?
14.
So he's 14, and is that Hope? And your first thing was the first 2600. What was your first 2600? Do you remember your first 2600 New York City 2600 meetup?
I do remember. I think I met up back maybe like a year ago or closer to half a year ago, sometime in between. And Rob T. Firefly introduced himself, and immediately I was. Met by a lot of people, and people were very kind, and I sort of adjusted just by going and going again.
So it was the opposite of IRC, basically.
Pretty much.
Because I had the same experience where I read, I'm 29, by the way, so it's like I'm right now, if you ever been on a roller coaster and it parks like right above the first dip and it makes you look down a couple of seconds before you plunge, that's where I am right now, because it's like things hurt and nothing's getting any better. I had the same thing where, like, for me back then, it was a lot of, dialing to BBSs. So I would meet all the interesting coding lunatics that were on BBSs at the time. Back at a time where everyone also shared anarchy-type strategies, kind of like now. And so I was always worried that, like, when I would go to these 2600 meetings, I saw there was one in New York City. I was worried it was going to be like on FidoNet, where it's like just everyone's just like, dick, no, you're a dick, eat me, fuck off, hey, there's a weird thing in this code here, hey, you know, and like it was going to be like that craziness, but I showed up and it was like very interesting, nice, intelligent people, and my nervousness kind of evaporated after that. Do you remember any of like the first stuff that you talked about, any people that stuck out besides Rob T. Firefly, who we all know?
Yeah, so I met a lot of people, some of which still go to the meetings, actually most of which still go to the meetings, and they all just sort of asked me what kind of programming I'm interested in. I asked the same to them, and I just got to know people on sort of a computer level, what they were interested in, and I got some advice for social engineering, which was fun.
So what sort of programming are you into?
I do a lot with Python, but nothing too extreme. I make little scripts and tools that I use And yeah, I think that's where I am now. I'm just picking up more and
what,
more knowledge.
What was the last thing you wrote in Python? Like, what was the use for that one?
Oh, God.
Besides your nudes, you know? We all have that. Trust me, when you get older, you'll understand.
So I just wrote a failed program in a language called Brainfuck. I wanted it... I was sort of inspired by the Capture the Flag tournament. Yeah. So I made an interpreter and something that would encode my messages. And you could only use my message decoder, or you had to work through the whole program. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you would get fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, like looping like that. So that's what I wrote. That's what I do.
So
with
it
my
turns life. Into Twitter when you've botched it, basically.
Oh, pretty much. speaking of Python programs and Twitter, I wrote another one a while ago called Twat. And I basically registered with the Twitter API, and I made a program that would call someone a twat on Twitter every couple seconds, repeatedly, until Twitter banned that user completely. So I had a few profiles set up, so when I launched it at somebody, it would just bombard their Twitter status.
So since you obviously have developed most of the tool set that Anonymous uses, do you have your own GitHub? Do you have a place where you display this stuff, or is this just in your own, like, encrypted hard drive somewhere?
This is just on my hard drive, not even encrypted. I don't really mind using it. I usually put it on a flash drive and put it on a shelf, but I occasionally put some things online through Pastebin and just share the link.
Mm. That's a good way to get out there. So outside of coding stuff, I usually see you a lot of times with, I believe, there are modified, like hand radios and radio signals. Tell us about some of the work that you've done there. Or are you just, God, like, listening in?
Yeah,
on, like,
I just listen in mostly.
Trying to be the NSA.
Yeah, I'm trying to be the NSA. I'm working towards that. But I'm hoping to get my ham technician class this weekend so I can actually broadcast.
Congratulations, you've been studying for that for the past couple days?
I've been studying a bit, but I wouldn't be surprised if I failed. I'm pretty bad at tests.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a great test person growing up, and that's why it's really freaky when some people are like, dude, you helped me out. You're, like, so smart around here. And I'm like, really? You should go to the doctor. I have a good recommendation. Get some pills. You know, because if you think I'm smart, it's like, no. Like beaches can tell you no. So you got into a lot of stuff. Now, you said you learned some stuff in social engineering. Was that something that you were initially interested in, but you just didn't know how, or, like?
Yeah, so social engineering for me is a kind of, it seems like it would be easier, but it's a little more difficult because I can't really walk up to someone and be intimidating. I'm 14. So I do most social engineering over the phone, just on my free time or for fun, and I pretend to be a grown woman, which works.
Yeah, that does work. That's a great avenue around that. Do you just call, like, pharmacies, just getting all confused?
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't call mine.
Sometimes I'll call Starbucks and get their names and numbers just for fun. But I won't do anything bad with them. I'm not that.
You know what's really sad too is that's like that for them, that's like the exciting part of the job. Like, something actually happened. Because I have friends that work at Starbucks and they're hard workers, but, like, man, you know. So if you've never been to a New York 2600 meeting, kind of the general flow is that we have the meeting. It's about, like, 5 to, like, I'm going to just do the official statistics, like 5 to 8, and then everyone goes out to eat somewhere, and then something happens afterwards. What usually happens is that we hang out at 5, and then when everyone starts getting hungry and starts bitching, we get dragged, and then we argue about where to eat, and then we eat someplace. Sometimes it sucks, sometimes it doesn't. And then all the old sad people like me go home, and then some of the other people end up, like, going to see a movie or just wandering out in New York until the sunlight goes up. What's been your favorite interesting experience at the New York 2600 meeting so far that you can legally obligated to say?
Legally obligated? Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm trying to make it difficult there.
Yeah, so after dinner, we kind of split into subgroups usually.
Not cliques, by the way, just to note, because everyone's welcomed in different things.
Oh,
it's just that, you know, people have known certain people longer or less, but we generally all get along.
If you ask a group of people where they're going and say, can I join, they'll definitely say yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been turned down to go somewhere. Everyone's pretty kind when it comes to meetups, but I got invited to a Facebook group called Foo. Yeah, pretty much. And we just talk. It's like Leo, Delcini, and I.
Yeah,
and
more directed.
Oh, towards the mic, okay.
Yeah.
And, so we just plan meetups, and sometimes I'll meet them in Union Square and get noodles or something. But, Yeah, I think that's most of my experiences.
So, expanding from that, so you started to go to some meetings. People started, you know, you taught some people some things. You learned some new things from people. And this is not uncommon. It's not rare, but it is a surprise when this happens, and it's a great surprise. You were published 2 issues ago in 2600 Magazine.
God. Yeah.
What, like, congratulations, dude.
Oh, thank
like, seriously,
you.
At 14? I couldn't find my butt with both hands at 14, so, like, really, congratulations on that.
Thanks, Side Pocket.
Did you want to congratulate them, Beaches, or?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty gosh darn impressive. Yeah.
Thanks.
What was the article about, since none of us read anymore?
Oh, the article was about a script I wrote with JavaScript that I plugged into HTML and put on the web, and I thought it was cool, and for days I was wondering, should I write an article? Should I not write an article? Maybe I should wait till I grow up. but yeah, so I eventually came to the conclusion that I should write an article, and in the middle of a busy Barnes & Nobles, I started writing, and it only took a day or two to edit it, and I sent it in, completely forgot about it, got the acceptance email, and I sort of lost my mind.
I was going to say, what was your reaction to that, where you're like, no way!
Yeah, I was dancing around the living room telling my mom I was going to be in a magazine. It was the news of my family for a week.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm glad that is your family supportive about the stuff that you do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. My mom is a very, very supportive mom. She does give me a curfew, but she has to. She's my mom. So, yeah.
Trust me, sometimes I feel like I should have a curfew with all the crazy stuff people dragged at me at 1 a.m. in the morning. You do not want to be there. Heck, 4 a.m. today was just sort of like a discovery in of itself. At Radio Statler. But so more specifically, so what did you do with the JavaScript interfacing with HTML that made it? Because this is the interesting part.
So I wasn't around in the 90s, but I always
read.
I always read about these internet pranksters that will have pop-ups show up on your computer and websites that will spam more and more tabs until your computer's more of a collage of internet things. And I really wanted to make that. That sounded really cool. So I ended up with a JavaScript. Well, I ended up messing with JavaScript just with loops and window.open commands, I think it is. I haven't done it in a while. I'm a little rusty. But
yeah, that gets you there, yeah.
Yeah, but that did not work, so I ended up just adding a button click, and it ended up working, so that was kind of surprising that you could circumvent some pop-up detection with a button click. So I ended up writing about how I could just have a button that says free bacon, and then when someone clicks it, spam them with Goatsy. Of course, I didn't include Goatsy in them.
See, no, well, the thing about it is that, see, you actually reminded me that I almost forgot that, like, it could exist, but, like, you don't really see that anymore. Like, I remember the Narcissus, like, pop-ups where it was, like, an actual new window that opened up as opposed to a tab or, like, your anti-software eating it. And it's, like, even though I went through that era, it's, like, that's kind of cool that you're looking back on that. Gang like evil inspiration from that and like going
awesome.
Forward with it.
I was upset I didn't see that anymore.
I mean, you say you're upset, but trust me, it was fucking terrible.
Oh my god. To be honest, I wish I went through that terrible period just to see it.
Yeah. So what is your perspective on that? Because, you know, you know, I don't know how well you know, like, your fellow age group and peers, and probably heard all of our complaints about them being old, sad men and women. But are you the only one that's, like, interested in stuff? Like, how would you say that from what you've heard of, like, the previous generation before you? Like, what do you see as the difference between, like, the 10 years ago and what you guys are going through now?
So this question is a really good one I should touch on. And I think a lot of people in my generation who enjoy hacking are becoming more and more not part of the hacking community.
Mm.
Kids my age who hack... And I know a few. I brought my nephew here also, so that's...
Who did an amazing hack on a hammock, by the way.
Oh, yes.
So we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after. But I think a lot of kids are sort of Googling how to hack and seeing anonymous and sort of running into the darkness, the things that they don't understand, and calling themselves hackers. And that's something that I think it's going to be hard to veer away from, but really needs to be veered away from.
Mm-hmm. Something that I've also noticed with that, too, is that you've also had people go in the other direction, because, like, when I was a kid, it was like, yeah, I did some like web development stuff, but like there wasn't any jobs. It's like, yeah, you can code in C and Java and Fortran, like, so what? Like, yeah, you do hobby stuff, but like, you don't have a life. Like, go out and do retail, like, what the hell? And now it's just sort of like, wow, I can code in Python, I can like make a social website or like a bug bounty script and just get tons of money. And so it's like the opposite direction, where it's like instant white hats, and you don't get like you're automatically like encapsulated into corporate culture immediately, as opposed to like developing your own thing and then deciding what to do. Would you say that's a fair way of looking at it?
Yeah, that is a fair assumption to make. But I do think that I do think that hacking itself is sort of looked at as always a black hat activity. In the eyes of mass media, hacking is a very dangerous thing and criminal thing. So when you have kids thinking about hacking, they're usually thinking about, you know, a guy in a hoodie and a computer and green text coming down the screen. They're
Mr.
not
Robot,
thinking of
yeah.
yeah. They're not thinking of the person who tinkers with stuff and makes great things, mm-hmm. which is an image that we really have to instill in the youth.
I just want to mention that IRC has actually been like commenting, and Root Squared 2 said, "Preach, kid, preach." I think that might have been. Do you know what the exact timestamp when he posted that? Because you've been looking at it, but.
It says 1:16, so 2 minutes ago.
So maybe it was probably talking about like the generational stuff. If you could clarify exactly what was the awesome preaching, because I think he said Dent has said some awesome stuff so far. Definitely come in IRC in itself. You couldn't just settle for an article in 2600. No. You, what did I do wrong?
No, you did nothing wrong. I just wanted to say that Root Squared says, tell the kid I'd hire him if it was legal, because that's the attitude I like.
And Jitahan said he'd vote for you over Trump. So I think that's a... We need to start making, like, decals put on you of, like, achievements here. But like I said, you couldn't just settle, you freaking bastard, for, like, getting an article in 2600, right? So you had to decide to, if I remember correctly, go to your first hacker convention, and it just happened to be this.
Oh, yes. Hackers on Planet Earth, I didn't really know about till a few 2600 meetings later. Everyone was wearing Hope t-shirts, and I was like, what
cult is this?
Yeah, what is this? What I dragged myself into. So I did a little research, a.k.a. just asking, what is that? And they told me everything. I actually didn't hear about that. The only hacker con I've heard of before was DEF CON. I didn't know that other hacker cons existed.
Yeah.
That tends to happen, unfortunately.
So I looked more into what Hope was, and it was in New York, which was fantastic, because I didn't have to beg my mom to take a plane to Las Vegas, which was great. So I'm here now. I'm really excited. After lots of begging, I've finally gotten here. Yes, I did it.
Yes. Lots of base social engineering, I'm guessing, which is technically begging. So being your first HopeCon and technically your first, and your first HackerCon combined, what's been the experience so far at Hope? Is everything you thought it'd been?
It's been so great, yeah. I met a lot of new people. I've seen a lot of things that I didn't even know existed.
Are these good things or bad things?
Oh, great things, great things. And the fact that all of this is available to me and through an elevator, a trip on an elevator, is amazing. And I think that in 2 years, everyone listening who has not gotten a chance to go to Hope should check it out, because it's really a life-changing experience.
And I agree with Retinox, I hope I pronounced it right, on IRC, DEF CON equals hookers and crank. And then, to a certain degree, DARPA money, but we'll get to that later. So have you seen any of the talks yet here, like live stream or in person? What's been your favorite so far?
Oh my God, the keynote today was amazing.
About Cory Doctorow?
Yeah, Cory Doctorow.
Is that the first time you've ever seen him, like, as a human?
Yes, it is the first time I've seen him as a human, but I've read his books, and they're really good.
What's your favorite book out of all the stuff he's written? I know it's hard to pick, but...
Yeah, well, I really like Little Brother. I'm in the middle of that now, so, yeah.
Your pal there was reading Fight Club. I was tempted to take a picture of, like, you. You were on your laptop doing all sorts of, like scripting stuff, and he was reading Fight Club, and you just, like... my heart swelled, because it's like hope for the new generation. I loved it. I just absolutely loved
it. I'm trying to teach August well. I think he's on the right path. Yes. He's reading Fight Club.
So outside of the keynote, was there any other sing talks that you ran into?
Yes, I saw the one Gabriella Coleman. I think I'm saying that right. Gabriella
Coleman.
We're gonna
find that out, Gabriella.
Anyways, she did a talk on how Anonymous was narrowly vilified as, or yeah, was narrowly evaded being vilified or something like that. And it was a good talk. I'm not a huge fan of Anonymous, but she did a really good report on how it happened and what exactly.
Gabriella Coleman, yes. So there's known as Bilia. That's interesting. You know, it's kind of very relevant right now because, you know, there were hacker groups, you know, back in the day, there were hacker groups, and most of them kind of got busted. But like I said, it's the same underpinnings, but it's like a different web out there now.
Yeah, totally different web.
Stuff. And so outside of talks, what's been some other things that have been attracting I hope? I know it's kind of like the Disneyland of hacking. But.
Oh my God, it is the Disneyland of hacking. So a lot of the time, I'll walk around and go to the lockpicking station just to have fun there. I'll go buy a club mate, which is actually, I figured out kind of early, is carbonated piss water. It really is.
I told you this kid was smart.
And yet we keep drinking it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand either. I've gotten like 4, and I still think it tastes like piss. But I just go to the lockpicking station on my free time. And
have you ever tried the iced tea variant?
No.
There's an actual iced tea variant, and actually has good flavor. And for some reason, Baby Castles is the only one who get it. I don't know why it's not here.
Oh, I
have a bottle in my fridge. It's like mostly empty. So.
A case of Club Mate is kind of expensive. So
yeah.
Otherwise, I would totally order some to the house.
These cases of it. So Lockpicking Village. What's your how much like what's been like your like lock level? Like, are you really learning a lot in that or?
I'm trying to learn, but most of the time I'll just.
His handle's Dent, by the way, on IRC, because they're asking what his handle is. It's Dent, right?
I didn't go on IRC a lot, but if I were to go, it would be Dent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder out there. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go on.
Oh, no problem. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
About lockpicking, yeah.
Yeah, so my lockpicking level isn't great. I just sort of get a master lock or something and watch TV and fiddle around until it opens. So that's the level I'm at. I'm hoping to get better and learn other techniques and do it faster.
See, that's why one of the things I love about hacking is a lot of hacking's like that, like the media stuff, like whether it's my generation or your generation, I think what's in common is everyone thinks, ooh, hacking, it's like you're on the coding thing and it's a really elegant thing. And a lot of times it's like, I took a 2x4 and I smacked it 3 times and all of a sudden I have everyone's bank accounts on Apple. It's like that's a lot of hacking. Like, real quick, one of my favorite hacking stories ever. You should go, because you guys are reading books, you should go read a book. I hope to get him here one day, I hope. His name's Art Williams. He's a money counterfeiter, and he cracked the 1996 $100 bill, which is insanely hard to crack back in that time. That was like, it's like prism on a bill. It's like that sort of thing. And there's a great story he talked about where he's trying to figure out the paper to use for the money. And the main thing is that for most counterfeit money, if it passes the marker test, that's all people mostly do. So usually if the paper marks, they do that. And they're marking paper and everything's failing. And at one point between his girlfriend snaps and just starts marking everything in the house. She's like, marks the table. It's like, this doesn't fucking pass, does it? And then she marked a white page in the phone book and it completely passed. So it was phone book paper, white page phone book paper, and not only can you get rolls of that for really cheap, when you sandwich the stuff in the middle and press it together to make the bill, it's also the same thickness. So that's the elegant hack, completely by accident, found the right texture, pen test, and so it solved multiple problems in one. That's to me like a classic example of a hack.
It's crazy how many examples of hacking and discoveries come from accidents. Yes.
There you go.
It's crazy how many examples of hacking and discoveries come from accidents.
Little happy accidents, yes.
Little happy accidents.
Yes.
Sometimes not so happy ones.
Some Bob Ross in there for you.
Yes, a little bit.
Little happy accidents.
I've always wanted to do a thing here where it's like advanced like shell scripting, but done like Bob Ross style of just like, we're going to put a nice little happy variable right there that's going to intersect it. Like, you know, just do that. But not enough of my crazy stuff because I'm senile. So, So you did the Lockpicking Village stuff. You said you met tons of new people. Who would you like to shout out towards like the people that you've met so far?
Let's see. This morning I just took a bunch of locks and I put them together in one giant ball. I just linked them together.
So you did the Sergeant Howard Payne method of lock.
Oh, yes. And I walked around like, who wants to crack my lock ball challenge? And I met two people named H-Bach and Lexi. Who both started picking and
like, let's do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on a text file on my desktop called leaderboard.txt.
Mm.
So yes, that is a an amazing connection I made today.
One of the things I didn't even know was going on today until I was walking around vendors is someone has set up a mini CTF here at Hope. And
really?
There's some sort of prize going out. Yep. I was thinking of attempting to grab them, like, if there's, like, another gap in content.
Well, we have another gap in content
Yes, so, you know, I'm thinking of grabbing, because, to be honest, on radio, I've been trying to get B-Crypt on here. She wants to be on here, but she's, like, really busy, so we're gonna attempt to. But, yeah, they're doing a mini CTF. CTF was something I originally wanted to do here. I know there's prizes. I don't know what the prizes are. All I know is that the prizes are probably better than the talent competition later tonight.
I can tell you what the prizes are. All you have to do
sleep.
Is...
Sleep? Sleep?
Yes, that is the prize. No, all you have to do is solve one puzzle and you'll get a UB key, which is cool. I think it's like a $50 value, which is great.
Yeah.
And if you're one of the top four by the end of the weekend, you will get a selection of books from No Starch Press and I think some other thing that I forgot.
No Starch Press has done some amazing work. They're almost here at every Hope, and they excellent, nicest vendors that we've had. You know, just great guys. And also another good thing about that CTF, no DARPA sponsorship. But enough about that. So besides floating around, so you know, you did the tool stuff. I saw you guys checking out art later. We used to have a lot more art at Hope. One day we're gonna go back to more decade themes. What was the most interesting art thing you've seen so far?
The holograms were definitely pretty awesome.
Holograms, describe that. I actually didn't know that was here.
Okay, so there's holograms like right over there. Basically, it's
like Star Trek, like holodeck with like hot women, or
not like 3D holograms that like come out of a flat surface. It's more of a depth illusion, like they shine light into it and you look over and you see a green image, and when you move your head it moves as if it's three-dimensional, which is really, really cool. It's something that I haven't ever seen before, and I think it's something I'll only see here at Hope.
Is there an did the artist explain how that works, or did you figure out like what the optical illusion is?
So there's a bunch of stuff about how it works written down. I was too lazy to read it, so I just kind of looked and was like, huh, that's cool, and moved on.
I have a feeling, I think Root Squared 2, do you have like some sort of like InfoSec business? Because I always feel like you want to like really hire this kid, or you have a podcast. So it's like one of those two things. He actually wonders, because you said you don't have Twitter, right?
I don't have Twitter.
Is there any other way to like you know, we're going to dox drop. Is there any way to contact you? Just get that out of the way right now.
Yeah, there's definitely a way to contact me. You can email me. Oh, God, this is an embarrassing email, but it is my email at dentedfun@gmail.com.
That's not embarrassing. Should see OpenFly's email.
Yeah, I just had to stick some random words in there so that it would be accepted.
OpenFly's email is entirely in Arabic, and I think I can't remember the first part, but it's something at like .terrorist. I'm not kidding.
What?
Yeah. One day I'm going to get his bit, because I think Leo has one of his business cards, and it's like, yeah, it's a sight to behold.
Oh, Root Squared put his email.
Okay, so we're going to have to jot that down. Dude, I think you have a job that's a lot better than what I'm doing right now.
And Root Squared, it's not Denton Fun, it's Dented, yes.
Yeah, Dented, yes. So I think you have a friend from Nambla, so that's good to know. Yes, a joke out of it. So that's how the art stuff did. Now, I would ask you about the workshops, but there have been lines for those. Like, every workshop has been packed upstairs. Mez has been okay.
Yeah.
But upstairs is
so,
like...
So that's where all the people are, because I felt that it was a little light. I was like, where are all the people? Upstairs, apparently.
Especially that aggressive Python thing was just, like, insane.
Python.
Yeah, I thought Cory Doctorow was teaching Python in there. Like, that was the type of line... like Junts was out there like losing more hair than he already has. It was just a mess. So here's an interesting question. So what would you think you could change? I guess we'll start like maybe like 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. What now that you've experienced, because we talk a lot of good stuff, what would you like to see different? Because I'm assuming you want to come back in 2018. What would you like to see here for the next one, next Hope?
I'm not sure. Maybe more workshops, because I really liked the workshops, although it was more of a classroom kind of workshop than a hands-on kind of workshop. Like, people were stacked in that room. Maybe we could get another room or a few more rooms.
Or like a fan.
Or like a fan.
Yeah.
But I think that's my only concern. Everything else has been amazing.
Awesome. Yay, minimal effort, maximum results. I love this. I'm going to let Emmanuel know this. That's good. Did you have any like other like conferences or events you would like to attend in the future? I know you like to expand your horizons. Like I said, you went from doing scripting stuff to New York 2600 meeting to being published to being at your first con and being awesome.
Yeah,
so what other things would you like to do like in the next couple of years?
Man, I mean, I feel like I'm at my peak right now. Like this has been
wait till you turn 16. Oh man.
I might go to DEF CON. I'm not sure. From the stories I've heard, I might stay away.
Well, honestly, I have a lot of friends that do Roots, and Roots is generally between like they normally try to slant it between 8 to 12, but there's like a lot just as it's like general under 18, and they do a lot of really good stuff. And what's interesting about what they do Roots is that they have talks, but three things. One, they're short. They like to have a thing. They like really get to the point on stuff. Two is that a lot of the talks, especially this year, which is new, half of them are done by kids who are between the ages of like 10 and 16.
That's great.
So it's like kids actually like doing talks at kids,
at
like
DEF
the same
Con.
Way you do at Roots. That's a section of DEF CON that's just for kids. And the other thing also that's about fantastic. Roots is that a lot of it now is workshops. So if you like workshops and doing Capture the Flag, like, and you know, like I said, I like to advertise Hope. Hope's great, but if you are out in that area, I would say Roots and B-Sides Las Vegas would be a great place to check out, especially since with B-Sides, that's like literally run by the people there. They make no money from it. They're like desperate. That's why they had the podcast earlier. It's a good thing. So I guess what should we just like do that, or should we keep going? Or?
We can keep going.
We can keep going. Holy shit. Well, you've been really popular here now, yeah.
Oh, thanks. I'm flattered.
I think people want to adopt you on IRC. This is like
adopt
amazing.
Adopt me on IRC. I think I'm a little scared now.
Yes.
I might
just
not
a little.
Adopted.
Just a little. Wait till you find hell on Darknet. So interesting. So how about we just go through like some times? So there was the tour, kind of like the tour update. What's your opinion on tour? Do you use that often? Have you ever experimented with it?
Yeah, I use tour. I haven't experimented that much, but I don't use it regularly because it's really, really slow. Because, you know, everyone downloads and no one sets up a node or anything.
Yeah.
But I definitely am an advocate for tour. Use tour, but use it safely. Don't do anything really stupid on tour because it'll just make it worse for the rest of us.
It's like driving a car.
Yeah, don't do anything really stupid. Don't run any red lights. Just be safe and keep your privacy.
We're gonna bust the mystery here on IRC. Are you the same kid that bought that
bought the giant
IBM mainframe?
I'm not that smart, no.
I'm not that rich, so.
I have no desire to own a mainframe.
So, how about we do like a little game here since we have a couple of minutes
little
left?
Little game.
Yeah, and someone wrote that you literally have a better understanding of limitation of tour than most adults. I just want to correct that. I hardly call them adults. this is sort of like the Magoo optimistic is more like it with a lot of people, and sometimes I include myself in that. So, how about we do a little game? I'm janking this from a gay online show called Hey Queen, which is that, it's called Look at Her, but instead I guess we're going to go Look at Hack. I'm going to bring up some names of people that I know in the community, and whether you've met them or not met them, it's okay if you don't know them.
Okay.
I just want you to give you like your first instinctual answer, like whether it's a funny story or your thoughts or stuff about this person
even
or their
if I
work.
Don't know them.
Yeah, like you can just be like, you lost me, side pocket. What the hell's fucking wrong with you? First off, so this is going to be random. Night Owl.
Night Owl's cool. I like Night Owl. He's nice, and he taught me a lot about lockpicking. He might need a little trim on the beard, though.
Just a little.
No, never touch it.
Yeah, we still need him to be mistaken for Hasidic everywhere he goes. Because it's gotten to that point. Leo and Sergi.
Who?
Leo and Sergi, the twins.
Yeah, I used to not be able to tell the difference between them, but I've hung out with Leo for a while, so now I know that Eneman is not Leo. Yeah, they're cool.
Delcini.
Delcini's cool. What should I say about Delcini? I don't know if she's going to be listening to
I'll tell you the weirdest thing about Delcini. Odd fact, she swallows pill-shaped objects really well because she takes like a lot of like vitamins and stuff, so she can literally like put like 8 horse pill vitamins and just swallow them with no water and they're just gone. I don't know where she learned that. I don't know what circus she joined. to learn that, but she can do that, and she's going to come later and kill me.
I think that's possibly the most random aside we've ever had.
Well, that's why you have me here, besides screwing up everything, you know? That's why I'm here.
Alcini should change her name to Cinnamon Bun.
Yeah, because that's her icon everywhere, yeah. Same way how I'm like the duck everywhere, like it's duck icons.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll just call you Duck now.
Yes, there we go. Duck. Ducks rule. I don't know why that was a thing in the 90s. Johnny Xmas. Cat ears.
I have no idea.
We're going to have to introduce you to him later because, you know, our whole goal is to corrupt the youth. No, John, in my opinion, just feeling Johnny's a pretty nice dude going around. Emmanuel.
Emmanuel's really nice. I've met Emmanuel and talked with Emmanuel, and we share music with each other through email every once in a while, and I've been having a really good time knowing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to kind of know out there, because there's those rumors around and stuff, is that no, he does drive around in a creepy, unmarked van. But no, he doesn't do what you think he does. He's just selling magazines. Can we please stop with that? That is some like high school level stuff. I know Emmanuel enough that he's selling a magazine. He does hope. He once in a while gets dragged out to Congress and looks really angry. What scares me more, and I'm not going to name names, are people who do these major conferences, and they have so many ties to the infrastructure of information and computing security in the United States to like beyond NSA levels, and yet we give a lot of those people our time and money for that. And to me, that's more of like a, you know, I'm shocked that like ever, it's like some, there will be some people who like just like mock and don't like Emmanuel Goldstein, but they'll totally give money to something that like, from the people that are linked, you know that it's going to some unsavory stuff.
I don't understand that logic.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's community. Communities, no matter where you go, no matter what age you are, they're all, unfortunately, kind of all the same, and it gets worse with age. Let's see if I can name, like, three more names there. Rob T. Firefly.
Oh, Rob T. Firefly is a very friendly person. If you happen to go to the NYC 2600 meetings, look for the person with the tinted, round, John Lennon-style glasses. That's usually Rob.
And no hair.
Yes, and no hair. He is bald. But say hi to him. He's a very nice guy, and he'll sort of introduce you to the hacking community.
He's my introduction. That was actually, like, my semi-idol growing up, because I did, like, the whole phone loser stuff, which was what he was originally part of. Yeah. So when I met him, I was, like, really nervous, and he broke the ice by saying that, oh, because I was taking pictures in New York and saying those wallpapers, that, oh, you're the one who's saying awesome wallpapers, because we never get wallpapers. And that's how I got, like, introduced to everyone else, because he just took me around and just, like, introduce me to everyone else. So that's another thing. If you go to your local meeting, you don't have to be, you should want to learn. You don't have to be like the most least elite hacker person. Just get involved, talk to people, do something. Like that's how we all got roped into this BS in the first place. And one last one. I'm debating of taking my earphones out for this. Side pocket.
All right, take off.
Do your worst.
Side pocket's cool. If you say hi to Side Pocket, say hi. He's nice. He'll say hi back. He doesn't bite, but he does tell a lot of semi-not-safe-for-work jokes. So don't bring your parents and then say hi to Side Pocket.
That is seriously the best compliment I have ever had at Hope ever, besides you do interviews for Radio Statler and we never use them, but thank you. Second best now. That was the best. That was second best. But you guys were almost there. I freaking love that. So, unfortunately, since I'm Papa's windbag, I'm running out of air. So I'm just looking at IRC real quick. Is there any last quick questions on IRC for Dent over here, besides other ways to stalk him?
There is. What's Dent's favorite drink?
Oh, that's been a common thing at Radio Statler. Go.
A cold margarita. No, I don't really have a favorite drink, but if I had to pick, it would be Coca-Cola. I know
just
it's
plain Coca-Cola?
Yeah, I know it's really unhealthy, but I've been so addicted to Coca-Cola, and it tastes really good. To me, at least.
That's fine. People are shocked that I don't like grape soda. I don't know why.
You don't like grape soda?
Yeah, I'm not going to puke if I do. It's like if I have a choice, I just skip grape soda.
I understand that.
I'm not persecuting it, you know. I'm not a police officer. I'm not going to persecute it, but you know, it's that whole thing. So, yeah, no. If he got any margarita, that would be me and Murdoch's fault. And pedo jokes, yes. So I guess because we might do some stuff here is, and Rainex, by the way, who wanted to contact you, his favorite is Fanta because he's a Nazi. no, that is a good drink out there. So, and Fresca, which my mom actually used to drink. And by the way, my personal favorite drink, well, growing up, my favorite drink, ironically enough, was Yoo-Hoo. I used to drink that in boxes and cans.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but it's delicious, just like basic Coca-Cola. And like my favorite drink kind of today is my favorite default drink is like, not that I like go after it, but it's any ginger ale, primarily because it's the only thing you can drink on the plane. Because I one time tried drinking alcohol on the plane and I went, fuck this. And it's just, ginger ale is the perfect drink when you're like in the stratosphere going 9,000 miles per hour while a baby's screaming. That's just the best drink for me. So is there any I guess semi or final thoughts you want to put out there? Any things
thoughts
you want to look like people that contact you for anything or anything out there?
I want to touch more back on kids my age because I really think it would be great to have more kids here at Hope just to introduce them to hacker culture and have the next generation of hackers ready. If you're my age or younger or older and are wondering if you should go to a meeting, go to a meeting. If you want to go to Hope or an NYC 2600 meeting, you can meet me. I'm more than happy to show you around and talk to you. And also, you can email me at, once again, dentedfun@gmail.com. No hyphens, no anything.
Yeah. Yep. And the other thing also is, one, is that if you're also in that age and you have a bad experience, don't get discouraged. There are bad people everywhere that you'll occasionally meet. I'm one of them. And but, you know, if you go around, you might find something else. And if there's nothing in your area, start something. If there's no meeting or any sort of thing, you take your favorite thing, put some words out, put some flyers, go on Reddit, and start something. People will thank you there for it, because trust me, you are not the only one out there. Is there any things you want to ask Dent, BG?
No, yeah. I think we've covered all the bases, answered all the questions. It was great having you on.
Yep. Thank you for coming on Radio
Statler. Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
And thank you for coming to Hope. I look forward to see how much you advance in the future, and by overseeing when they read Emmanuel's will, they're going to pass down Hope to you. Like, I can see that. Like, you're getting there. It's already freaky. It's like you run your own conference at like 19. Like, I can totally see that.
No. Maybe one day it'll happen, but probably not.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dan. I hope you have the great rest of the con. Stay tuned for more amazing content on Radio Statler.
Yeah, thank you. See you later. You.